Ladies and gentlemen, it's time again for the James Whale Radio Show. Ah, dear, have you finished? Was the I just had to record that introduction four times because Pratt features here. It wasn't happy. 2016, you said I would get a new studio where I could have hear what's going on properly and not have to do it by shouting through a tin can attached to a piece of string up to you.
I can't get out of Wales.
I know you can't get out of Wales, and that's a whole horrible thing in people's minds, but... No, I didn't mean what. Oh, never mind. I need a new mixer system and microphone.
Yes, we need to sort that out. We need to sort you out.
Well, could you get on with it, please, instead of saying it? Just get on with it.
Okay.
Just send me a little box that I can plug into my laptop. That's all I need.
All right, I'll send you a little box that you can plug into
your laptop. It must be possible to me to plug something into the laptop or the iPad or the iPhone or whatever and just do it.
Yes.
Good. God, they put people on the moon these days.
Do they?
Yes, apparently with some bloke on a space station going round and round. I've not seen it myself, but people keep telling me about it.
But he's not been to the moon yet.
No. Do you know, am I the only person who doesn't get excited about, whatever his name is, going round and round the world? Everybody's going, oh, he's great, isn't he? I couldn't care less. Listen, when you've landed on Mars, when you've met the first Martian... then I'm interested. You know, I was around, I was a youngster when they landed on the moon. That was exciting. Well, if they did it, of course, and there's questions over that. No, I'm joking. But, you know, going up into a tin can that's orbiting around, I don't really care. If I've seen one bloke try and brush his teeth in a weightless situation so his toothbrush floats around, I've seen another. And then when you see them doing these so-called spacewalks, you know, they're nowhere near as good as what you see in Star Wars, are they?
Yeah, well, that film Gravity, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I'm listen, when you go out there and you actually find something, let me know.
Yeah.
But until then, just shut up, will you?
Are you talking to me or the astronaut?
Astronauts, you know, I don't care. They sit there and everybody says, oh, they're real-life heroes. Well, for goodness sake. For goodness sake. Anyway, listen, let's get on with the James Whale Radio Show. Later, I have got a very important feature on the programme that may help keep you safe. And I think it's important that we do that sort of stuff on this programme.
It's always good to keep people safe, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, Rob, of course, is our producer. Any problems, any complaints that you may have about the programme, get in touch with Rob. You can get him if you email... JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. Is our phone line working or not?
No, I've unplugged it.
Why can't you even get that working properly?
Everything's not working today.
No. Oh, well, come on, and you say your studio's not working very well, so I hope this programme is actually being recorded and can go out.
Yeah, it might be a bit sort of choppy.
But might it?
It might.
Yeah, okay. Right, well, I've been... some of the things in the news this week I think we should talk about. I suppose the main thing is this great idea. David Cameron to come up with this wonderful idea, and he thinks that Muslim women who can't speak English should learn to speak English. And you and I, the British taxpayer, we are apparently going to pay for this.
How?
Well, that's a very good question, because how actually do... you make somebody learn a language unless there's a lot. I mean, and if he's saying that there are lots of women who come to this country, particularly Muslim women, who aren't allowed by their husbands to learn the language. I don't know whether that's true or not. I can't think there are that many actually. I think that's a bit of a. I don't know. I mean, I've lived for many years. In Yorkshire, and there are lots of Asian people in Yorkshire, and I've never really discovered any that couldn't speak English, but maybe I'm not looking in the right place. But if somebody doesn't want to learn the language, how are you going to go and get somebody's wife out of their house if they don't go out very often?
I don't know. I can't see it working, to be honest.
Well, it's about as clever as Donald Trump saying he's going to ban all Muslims from coming into America.
What is it? Attack Muslim time, is it?
Well, no, it's just ridiculous. You know, I've told you, I don't like religion for all these reasons. It's very diverse. But, you know, somebody's a Christian. They don't all look the same. Somebody's a Muslim. They're not all, you know, everybody, not everybody with a big beard is a Muslim. I'm not.
So if you come from outside of Britain to this country and you're a Christian but can't speak English, you don't have to go on the course?
Well, no, you see, this is the stupid thing that our politicians just do not think before they open their gobs. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why is because most of them are advised by their political advisors or people from think tanks who are generally 12 to 13-year-old students who've never had any experience of life whatsoever. So I'm actually, I put out a little thing earlier on Facebook about, where is it? Hold on, I'll find it, don't worry. Is it time for a world government?
Mm-hmm.
Because quite frankly, I don't think any governments in any part of the world, look, the Americans are about to take a billionaire nutcase under their wing and make him president, probably supported by that appalling Palin woman. I mean, how that's going to be great, I've no idea. You just look wherever it is. It doesn't matter where in the world you look. Politicians seem to struggle for a certain amount of sense and understanding. So I thought it would be better if we just suggest a world government.
One government to rule them all.
You know, well, look at the problem just here, just in the British Isles, where the Scots want to be, have their own, the Welsh, the Irish, you know, everybody wants to be a boss. And unfortunately, you can't all be bosses, can you? If everybody realised that, sorry, I just dropped my glasses on the floor, I had to go and get them. If everybody realised that, we'd be a lot better off, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So why do we bother with all these different... So I put that out. Let's see what response we've got. Hang on, let me have a look. Bruce Allman, he said, Rothschilds have been working on that for decades, have they? We haven't got very far, have they? Paul Wright said, we already have one. You just don't know about it. I've heard that thought, Paul, but it doesn't really wash with me. Stephen Sharp says, well, on our way for sure. The multinational companies, along with propagandists, are fast eroding national and local identities, beavering away while the world watches trashy TV, takes drugs, gets drunk and watches sport. You did get out of bed the wrong side, Stephen Sharp, didn't you? Alan Hill said, only if you are the leader, James. Alan, a sensible response at last. Thank you. Barry Love goes, oh, never mind about you. Peter Voss says, I thought we'd already got one. It's Big Brother called America. Everybody seems to jump when they say boo. Martin Cole says, no, the EU's been a disaster. Why on earth would you want a world government? Mark, have you listened to nothing that I have said? You know, the EU's a disaster because no one's in charge. You know, all the different countries still want to do their own thing. Just imagine if you had the pound, every country you went to in the world, everybody spoke English, it'd be fine, wouldn't it? There'd be no problem, would there? Delwyn Meek said there's a world government and it's the 60-odd individuals who own half the world's wealth between them. Yeah, I don't think they're focusing. I think they're too busy enjoying themselves and spending their money. Billy Boggs, James Well for president of the world. Yes, quite right, Billy. So it goes on, lots more. I don't think you're taking me seriously. But anyway, so that's that. What else was going on? This whole business of trying to sort of, I don't know, trying to placate the racists, the people who seem to think that every problem that they have is caused by somebody from another country coming here. Should we take time in thinking about all the Brits who go somewhere else?
There's quite a few of them.
You know, you're living in Wales.
Yeah, well, that's in Britain.
Well, a lot of Welsh people would not think, thank you for saying that.
Shall I apologise?
Shall we have a discussion about the Welsh language?
Or? No. We're not having a discussion about the Welsh language.
Are you sure? Because Every time I talk about the Welsh language, and as a person who was born of a Welsh woman, I feel entitled to talk about it, but there we are. As a man who spent his entire youth summer holidays in Porthcawl, you haven't been there, have you?
I haven't been to Porthcawl, no.
No, may I suggest that it's a lovely place for a holiday or a weekend, Porthcawl, South Wales, and they could do with the money, so everybody get down there and have a few days in Porthcawl. Get out to Rest Bay and Gulf Bay and Pink Bay and Shell Bay and walk along the wonderful sandy beaches. And it is only, I suppose it's only about an hour and a half, 2 hours drive from London.
Mm-hmm. But
straight down the M4, over the Severn Bridge, along the M4 a bit more, and drop off after Cardiff and before Swansea.
You know it well, then.
Yeah, no, very well. So that's this whole thing. I'm just, you know, every time I look at the news, every time we talk on this programme, I just get more and more upset about the fact that everybody wants to sort of have their own, you know, don't want to mix it with it. We seem to be getting more and more tribal as the world goes. I get depressed. I am getting very depressed. The whole state of the world at the moment, based around the fact the economies are going down the pan and oil is getting cheaper, it's because some people somewhere don't want to go out and say everything's good, isn't it? Everything's great. You know, let's improve things for everybody, which we could do, couldn't we? I just find it almost impossible to contain myself. The other story I was thinking, nobody can surely have failed to be moved by the amount of people trying to get out of the areas where conflict is large in the Middle East and in parts of Africa. I find it really difficult. Immigrants as well in Calais, living in terrible conditions, not that many. Would we notice if they came to this country? Should we help the families more? I asked that on Facebook just to see what everybody would say, whether we get the same old miserable moaners. And there we are, Belinda Williams. No, let's help our own for a change. Great, Belinda. I hope you're helping your own. David, you know, eventually the world will fall apart. And you get some of these extreme broadcasters who go on and winding everybody up. Yeah, close the doors. You don't want immigrants. Or, you know. And everybody be going along those lines, and we'll just all end up trying to kill each other, won't we?
Are you going to read any more comments?
You couldn't think of anything to say, could you?
I couldn't think of
I mean, there's that one guy who's got sacked off every radio station, whose name's not coming out of my mouth, who sits up there going on about everybody who... he's an overweight, ugly sort of person, and perhaps he should be doing something to improve himself rather than moaning about everybody else. And while I'm on this little tirade... Talking about teaching people to speak English, couldn't we start with the people who actually go on Jeremy Kyle's television programme?
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
What do you mean? Don't blaspheme in my presence.
Sorry.
Gosh. Alan Hill says, I think all families should be helped. UK and immigrant, also concentrating on what we have in common and not what we don't. Would be a healthy way to look at things. Looking at some of the comments posted is a bit worrying. No more us and them mentality. Well done, Alan Hill. Yes. Thank you very much indeed. Not like Martin Brammer. Why do you bother to get in touch with me, Martin Brammer? He says, absolutely not. Help starts at home. We do more for those outside the UK, many who totally hate us. I don't think anybody hates us. Most people want to come and live in Britain. Britain is one of the best countries, if not... Well, it's okay, isn't it? It doesn't have the sunshine and stuff of other countries. Listen, all human beings are human beings, for goodness sake. Lighten up. I tell you what we should do, though. We should actually make sure that when people want to come and live in a country, if you go and live in a country, you have to adopt their way of living. And I think, interestingly enough, it looks like the full face veil is going to be outlawed in Britain. And I'm sure whether you happen to be like me, of no religion at all, or whether you happen to be a Muslim or a Christian, you probably think that people covering their faces up is a really bad idea. No, but can anybody answer me this question? Why do you need to wear certain sorts of clothes when you follow a certain religion? Can not everybody, you know, if you live in a hot desert country, you might want to wear clothes that are more comfortable in that country. If you live in the United Kingdom, you might want to wear jeans and a sweatshirt. Just so you know, you might, if you're going to live, for argument's sake, in, I don't know, in the Bahamas or Africa, you might choose to wear the sort of clothes that people wear there. Why do people want to make themselves stand out? And why doesn't everybody want to try and blend in and get on with the people who you live with around you? Surely that is the best way for all of us to get on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like the people from Bahamas going to the Antarctic and wearing shorts and a T-shirt.
Now, listen, that's an interesting point, Robbo. Can anybody tell me why middle-aged men, right, mostly, and particularly postmen, wear shorts even in the depths of winter?
Well, the postmen do keep fit, so I suppose they're like wearing
sports shorts.
I've not
ever seen a fit-looking postman.
Have you not?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Now you come
get in touch,
yeah.
jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Feel free to stick up for yourself.
Send us some photographs of a fit postman.
Yeah, if you've seen any fit postman. Can we get on to the point, though? Why do these people wear shorts in the winter?
I have no idea. I have no
idea.
No,
I haven't. In fact, quite frankly, perhaps people wearing shorts in the winter should be stopped. Two things. Let's stop people covering up their faces for no real reason, unless you're on a motorbike and going very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And let's stop people wearing shorts, unless you're on the beach.
Or a postman.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I don't want to see blokes walking around with their tops off in supermarkets in the summer. I find that really, really offensive. There is no excuse for it, right?
Ooh, no. Can't be doing that.
No, exactly. I don't want to see any of that at all. Right, what else have we got here? Bob Wen, he says, the fact that wealthy neighbouring countries like Saudi Arabia and the UAE will not accept them should speak volumes. They are aware of the problems they will cause and choose not to have those problems. Why should Europe's doorstep be different? I think a lot of people are causing problems because we are not helping them, surely, Bob. You know, if people have been fleeing a country they can't live safely in with their children, as a lot have, and I know everyone's going, what about all the young men? It seems to be all young men. Well, a lot of young men, their families are sending them out of these countries because they're fit and able to get out because they don't want them being killed. And there's the argument, isn't there, that a lot of terrorists are using that way to get into this country. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. Personally, I don't believe it. Because if you were a terrorist and you wanted to get in and do harm, and that doesn't seem to be necessary here because I think we've got homegrown ones. Luckily, we've got some of the best secret services to keep us safe in this country. Long may they continue. But if you wanted to come here as a terrorist, you would be dressed as a businessman, wouldn't you? Flying business class.
Yeah, that would make more sense. Yeah.
Because, you know, they've got loads and loads and loads of money. It's just, it seems to me that we're being manipulated into wanting to have conflict with everybody. One last thing on this. Tony Ennis says, James, some of the comments on your page make me sick. Look at the pictures in the news of dead and hungry children. How can we not help? Brits care more for their dogs than they do for refugees. Nobody in the UK is as badly off or as hungry and destitute as a refugee. And when did Brits stop caring for other human beings? Makes me glad I left the country to be an immigrant. All right, where are you an immigrant, Tony? Interesting. It's a good point. And I've looked at some of the postings. And some of you should be ashamed of yourself. Well, we'll just get rid of them, shall we? Drop them off the page. Because it actually makes me depressed. You know, there's another bloke who goes around thinking he's a very contentious broadcaster. I can't remember his name, nor do I want to. But he's copied this program. He does a program. Go and listen to him. You are listening to James and Rob on the James Webb Radio Show. Right, don't forget the website, guys. And if you have just joined us, first time listening to the James Webb Radio Show, this, of course, is the James Webb Radio Show online. Some call these podcasts. Why do they call them podcasts? It's a show. I'm doing a show. I'm sitting here doing the sort of thing that I do and have done for years.
Because they are downloadable, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, downloadable. You can listen to it on your favourite local radio station. And, of course, you can see me once a month or so on Sky Television Sunday mornings. You can hear me on various radio stations. And but this is the one you can download and keep. And if you want, you go to the website jameswhaleradio.co.uk. And you can buy, listen, you can buy a baseball cap or even a sweatshirt with a whale logo or a mug. I only mention these things because I think, you know, I hear other people doing programs like this. They do crowdfunding, don't they, to keep them going?
They do crowdfunding, yeah. Maybe we should. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should do crowdfunding. Mind you, then nobody will listen. I don't know. What should we crowdfund for?
A new coffee machine.
A new coffee machine. That's a yeah, that's a good idea. So anyway, listen, I've got that off my chest, but things have surely got to get better before we start start going on any more about so there must be more things to talk about. I saw front page of the Times newspaper the other day. It's dangerous to throw sticks for your dog.
At the dog or for the dog?
For the dog, at the dog as well. But if you have a dog, you know, surely, and if you don't, you shouldn't have a dog. It is dangerous to throw. Sticks can get stuck in their throat. They can run around with a stick. They get it the wrong way. They can skewer themselves on it. Dogs have been killed by sticks. And then if you let them chew sticks up, you know, some my dogs love to sit in the garden chewing a bit of stick if they can find one. Just take it off them because they splinter. They pierce their stomach, pierce their mouths, pierce their throats. And you can face either having a dog that will live a very uncomfortable life because some people are so stupid that they never take their dogs to vets until they're almost dead, which I find absolutely horrific. But if you go to a vet, it's going to cost you money if you don't have insurance. Dogs are really expensive. You know, you've got to think twice. Getting the dog is the cheapest part of it.
I've got a fake stick for my dog, one of them squeaky ones. Is that okay?
Yeah, those are good. I take the squeaks out personally because I can't stand the noise.
Yeah, I've done that. I must admit, I've done that.
Right, now I've got a very special interview coming up, and I think it's probably better that younger people don't listen to this next bit. But it, I did see it in the papers; it did amuse me. I'm not sure whether I should have been amused by it or not. So why don't you play a jingle, and then people have a chance to do something else for a minute?
Go and do some cleaning or something.
Yeah, or just listen, just go and have a look at the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, buy a copy of a fabulous book called Almost a Celebrity by some chap called James Whale, a sort of autobiography of, I don't know, 40-odd years of talking rubbish.
Sounds like a good book. There's an audio version, I believe, as well.
Yes, I think there is. It's available from Audible, but all these things can be found on our website. Little adverts there. If you're changing your office and building a new office interior, then there's an advertisement there for somebody who might be able to help you as well.
Okay, I'll give our guest a ring now.
Sitting in my room and I'm on my own. It's cold outside and I'm feeling alone. So I turn that dial and my radio's on. I hear James Whale and my troubles are gone. I hear James Whale on the radio. I hear James Whale and his podcast show. I hear James Whale on the radio. James Whale and his podcast show. James Whale on the radio.
Right. So, The story that caught my eye in the paper was this Italian lady who got stuck in her chastity belt and she dialed the Italian's equivalent of 999 and asked the fire brigade to come out. They thought she got locked out of her apartment, but when they found out that she was locked in a chastity belt, there was a little humour. Although I have to say, I imagine it was quite embarrassing and could have been quite worrying. So we looked around. I got Rob on the job, so to speak, and got him to look around for an expert in chastity belts. And believe it or not, there is one. And believe it or not, they still make them. So, Jess, hello.
Hi.
I don't know, Jess, whether you saw this story.
I have, actually. Yeah, I've seen a couple of articles pop up in my newsfeed. about this poor woman who got herself trapped in a chastity belt.
Are they dangerous?
Well, I'd hate for people to think that they are dangerous. I think with everything, there's a level of precaution to be taken. And from what I've read with this particular scenario, she lost the key, which is kind of one of those, I would say, rules that comes with chastity. Don't lose the key. But no, I would like to say that as long as people do the proper reading and they do research what they're doing with their body, there's no reason that people should think these are unsafe or dangerous.
Okay, in that case, let's talk about it. Not something I thought existed anymore, he said, lying. So having researched this, chastity belts, of course, very prevalent in the Middle Ages. Knights used to lock up their ladies when they went off to battle. They were fairly heavy and rather uncomfortable things to wear. Is this what the modern chastity belt is like?
I think when we think of modern-day chastity, it's quite different. As you've just said, when you hear the word, and if you're not really into it yourself, it does conjure up these ideas of big metal, heavy things sort of strapped to women. Now, don't get me wrong, if you're into that kind of role play, yeah, you could still go out and find something that's based around the old medieval style. But, for example, at Love Honey, we tend to stock more, it looks more like maybe a leather pair of underwear, or for men there's sometimes a bit of metal involved, but it's more of a cage that just focuses on the genitals. So it's actually a much more discreet piece of clothing. Believe it or not, people wear them under their clothes and you'd never know in some instances. So it's not quite the chunky object that we imagine.
You make them for men?
We do, yeah. I mean, this is something I would say has changed. As you've mentioned, historically it was more of a tool used to stop men's women from wandering off or potentially actually being abused, so to speak, which I believe is actually what this this recent incident, this woman in Italy said the reason she was wearing it was actually for protection rather than for a sexual device. However, when we're looking at the sex industry and what we're selling for people to use in the bedroom, it's actually more men who are investing in chastity. We sell a lot more cages for men than we do for women.
When you say you sell a lot more, Jess, I mean, how popular is this sort of thing? I thought, for instance, I thought maybe the odd banker might be, locking up his woman when he went off to a meeting. That's sort of the only parallel I could think of. But I mean, it's and why I picked on bankers, I have no idea. is this a regular occurrence?
I would say yes. In actual fact, you know, I suppose if you're not into the scene, it's easy to conjure up your own idea of what chastity involves. But we're seeing in bondage in general, which chastity comes under, we're seeing a huge increase in sales, generally speaking, and I think we can put that down to 50 Shades of Grey. And it's not long before people progress, so perhaps where they've experimented with handcuffs, you know, it's kind of like a gateway, isn't it? And they're now sampling other restrictive toys that we sell. And so we are seeing this gradual increase in chastity and similar products. It's, you know, not our top seller. You're still going to be selling things like vibrators, for example. You know, the rabbit vibrator is always going to probably outsell something like chastity. But, for example, in the last 12 months, we've seen a steady 20% increase in sales. So it is, you know, the interest is there and it is increasing.
And is this, I mean, your company, lovehoney.co.uk, presumably you sell all over the world.
We do. I mean, we've got a few websites in other countries. We've got our .com domain, for example. We've got an Australian website as well. And we do sell these products across all sites. I would say probably our UK site has seen the biggest increase. That's probably because it's our most well-known website, as opposed to being a particular kink for Brits, for example.
So... Well, the British have always been known for having these strange and usually kept fairly quiet fetishes, haven't they?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's no secret that we're sort of a nation of keeping things behind closed doors, but actually being quite kinky. We just don't necessarily speak about it with our friends. But again, 50 Shades of Grey has kind of changed that. Now we're seeing people reading erotic novels on the train, on the bus. I think in the last 5 to 10 years, the attitude towards sex toys and particularly bondage, maybe more fetishy items, has really changed.
Are we more open about sex in this day and age than we used to be?
I think we are. I'd like to think that people are at least speaking about it a bit more and people seem a bit more comfortable communicating. I think, you know, in the past, people were quite quickly judged for what they were into. And over the years, that has changed, you know, from when we think back to, you know, people being judged for being homosexual. I mean, now that would be absolutely ridiculous. And I'd like to see that the rest of sort of other sexual tastes and interests go that way. I'd like to see people, oh, okay, you're into bondage, great. And I think people are happier talking about it, and it's more, you know, seen as, oh, I like ice cream, I don't. I like bondage, I don't. And it's just more of a what you're into, and people seem to be happy to let people get on with what they want to at home, you know, as long as they're not harming anybody and they're not making somebody else join in, everyone's consenting, and it's all good.
I think that's the problem that a lot of people might have, is that they feel that when you talk about bondage, it's actually violence against somebody the opposite sex, or maybe somebody the same sex.
Yeah, I think unfortunately that's a connotation that goes with it. And it's this idea of having a lack of knowledge kind of breeds fear. So a lot of those assumptions, I think, come from really not understanding the industry or the interest. I think actually going back to the story about the woman in Italy, the small snippets I read, apparently the fire brigade that showed up were initially concerned that she had been, you know, subject to abuse, you know, potentially it wasn't her choice to be locked into this chastity belt. And they were quite taken back when she said, oh no, I've done this myself out of choice. And so I think that just comes from a place of not quite understanding. And, you know, again, in movies, handcuffs are used to sort of trap the criminal, or, you know, and it's against their will. And we've just been brought up with this certain idea that these objects, whips and things, are designed for bad punishment and something that the other person couldn't possibly enjoy, when in fact it's quite the opposite.
So do you do this sort of thing yourself, Jess?
Well, I don't think I'm here to discuss my own personal taste, but, you know, I would say I'm a really open-minded person, and, you know, don't knock it till you try it, I would say, as a general rule in life. And working at Love Honey, we try and, you know, promote that, just being open-minded with things. In the same way as I'd hate to see somebody say, I don't like that type of food without trying it, I would also say the same when it comes to sexual taste. Don't knock it till you try it.
Well, I was going to say, you need to know what you're talking about to be doing that sort of thing, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I through the company, you know, here at Love Honey, I see a lot of products land on my desk, and my part of my job is copywriter, so I write a lot of the descriptions. Now, I've been here quite a while now, and through, you know, personal experience, as well as just on the job, as I'm sure we all learn things on the job, I'll have probably a lot of things land on my desk that I do know what they are, and I think, right, brilliant, let's go. But sometimes, you know, even I can admit there's something that lands on my desk and I think, nope, I don't know what that is. So I'm going to have to do some research and speak to some people who are active in that community. And I've got a nice handful of experts I go to as well, just for tips and advice, because it's important that we get this information right to ensure that it is safe and it isn't dangerous and people aren't going to get themselves locked into chastity belts by accident.
And if anybody is thinking of getting one of these, then they ought really to have a spare key put somewhere where they can remember it.
Absolutely. Now, we actually, with the products we sell, we always ensure there is a spare key. But it's something that I wouldn't say to somebody to go diving into lightly. You know, do your research. And it might sound like a funny thing, but, you know, we actually also sell beginner's chastity belts that don't lock you in, so, you know, you can actually release yourself, but it gives you the sensation, so it's like a mini stepping stone, so you can discover whether it really is for you without getting yourself into a sticky situation.
Yes, and I imagine the fire service won't be too happy if they get too many calls in this country like that either.
No, probably not. I did read an article from about 2013 that the London Fire Brigade were a little concerned that with 50 Shades of Grey and people experimenting, they'd see an increase in phone calls for help where people have got various body parts stuck in various objects. So, you know, I think, as with anything, the key here is don't be afraid to experiment. Just do your research first, you know, and make sure that you are aware of what you're doing, and of course, safety words are imperative when it comes to bondage, and just make sure everyone's happy with what's happening in any given situation.
Jess, nice to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. I must get my spare key. I think it's in my desk drawer. I'll have to remind myself. Thank you very much anyway.
Brilliant. Great speaking to you both.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
So there we are. I didn't understand a word of that, but of course I wouldn't. That was Jess Wild, who is from lovehoney.co.uk. I do see, actually, when I'm looking through the history on your website, that you've been spending, Rob, quite a lot of time on lovehoney.co.uk.
There's lots of really interesting stuff to look at.
Is there really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes. I imagine there might well be. Well, may I just suggest that some of the things that you seem to be ordering, I think you ought to check out with Mrs. Rob first, that she doesn't mind.
I nearly got into trouble.
Why?
Because, you know, I've been emailing Love Honey to get them on as a guest.
Yes.
Well, you know how the phone pings up when you get a new email message coming in?
Yeah.
Well, it came up on my screen. Jess, our bondage expert, would love to speak to you.
Well, there we are. Yes. And I hear that you and she have hit up quite a relationship. Yeah. I wonder what one of those little cages she was talking about would be like to wear.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, do. Maybe a few photographs could be posted as well. Do you think we should have a bit of music now?
Yes, let's go for some music.
Okay, now, if you would like, we say this from time to time, and sometimes we have time for music, sometimes we don't. If you are an unsigned band, if you are somebody who thinks that they should be heard, then we would love to hear from you. All you have to do is get in touch, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Remember, the email address, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. It's all on the front of our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Now, here's a bit of music from Wild Spice. It's their new single. It's called Adam. There we are. That was Adam. No. That was Wild Spice. I don't know anything about them.
No, I've not seen them before. Sound good, though.
Yeah, very good indeed. That was a single called Adam. It's their new single. You can get it on iTunes and all the other places. And if you would like to be on the programme, you've got some music for us, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Get in touch. Now, we will, because for some reason the technology is not... Well, maybe we should crowdfund so we can do the programme live and take calls.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. But in the meantime, why don't we try and sort out our phone-in system so people can ring in and we can play some of the calls?
We do need to get that sorted, yes.
You know, when we say we, you.
Yes, I'll add it to my list.
Good, good. Let's do tech talk.
Friends Reunited are going, so that's
they've
it.
They've gone, I think,
they've
haven't
got,
they?
No, they're still there.
Are they?
Yeah, so if you want to find a friend, you need to be quick.
Yeah, but, you know, you can find a friend anywhere. You can advertise on jamesweareradio.co.uk and find a friend.
What, you can buy an advert on this show, I would like a friend.
You got, I mean, I've noticed people going on our Facebook page and looking for people there.
We have had a few questions for you. Can you find me a girlfriend?
Yeah, we don't do that, not unless they pay a lot of money.
Quite a lot of money, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah, quite a lot of money. Mm. Yeah. And somebody did. Somebody was a bit irate about the fact that we dropped them as a friend. But I don't understand this. We can only have 5,000 friends, is that right, on our Facebook page?
5,000 friends and the rest become followers.
Right, okay. So we don't just drop you completely. It's just that more and more people come on, which is always nice to see. And that gives more people a chance to vent their feelings, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And the other bit of tech news is people who are subscribing to Netflix.
Yeah.
In this country, they've been subscribing in this country, and some of them have been going through the back door and getting the American movies and programmes. Well, Netflix have cut them off now, so they can't do that anymore. So I'd imagine Netflix is going to lose a lot of subscribers in the next few weeks.
Well, that's true, but of course, if Netflix pick up the possibility of bringing back the James Whale television show...
That's an idea.
I just thought of that. That's an idea. Maybe you should get in touch with Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah, and see what we can do. All right.
Okay.
Right, well, in case you're interested, we did ask the question, do you own a chastity belt? If so, why? Yazam Page Adin says, I wear whatever my other half tells me to wear. Really? Jane Freeman says, no, I practice self-control. Karen Osland sleeps with two dogs. She doesn't need anything else. Tina James, why would you need a chastity belt if you have self-control and self-respect? Chastity belts were made to keep the women virgins so the father could get a higher dowry on her. So first, the father owned her, then the husband, and he would probably use it on her to prevent her straying. Sounds terrible, Tina. I think the new chastity belt things are really more for fun than to be taken too seriously, don't you, Rob?
Yeah, it certainly looks that way from what I've seen on the internet.
Yeah, so you keep looking on that site, don't you?
It's addictive.
Mm. Catherine Green says she thought they went out in Victorian days. No, it doesn't seem to be. And Dave Benjamin, I don't understand this. Maybe, perhaps you can explain this to me, Rob. He says, I don't need one. I've got a wife.
Yeah, basically the wife rules, doesn't it, at the end of the day? She dictates when and where.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's what you say, anyway, our thanks to Jess Wilde from lovehoney.co.uk. Maybe when you go on their website, you'll find that Rob will be there too.
I might be.
Mm, you might well be. Right, shall we do questions for moi?
Questions for moi. Is that French?
Yeah, questions for the whale. We like to finish off with questions. And again, if you want to send me questions, you can either go on our Facebook page or you can email jameswhaleradio@gmail.com and you can find us on Twitter at the James Whale Radio Show.
James Whale Show and the James Whale.
James Whale Show and the James Whale were on Twitter. The James Whale is me. The James Whale Show, Rob has a lot to do with tweeting there.
Yeah, it doesn't get used much. Sorry about that. I need to do more.
Well, maybe you should use it a little more.
I will add it to the list.
At the James Whale, I'm on there quite often. In fact, I'm on there while I'm doing this.
I get upset when you're not on there.
Do you? Mm. Yeah. You don't have enough to... What are you suggesting that you have too much to do?
That's nothing. I've just got to organise a new TV show with Netflix. I've got to build you a studio. And now I've got to continue updating Twitter.
crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding, yeah, crowdfunding.
Yeah, crowdfunding, yeah. And possibly when you've done that, can you wash my car?
Oh, yes, you've got to use it again tomorrow, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right, are we gonna do questions or am I going home now?
No, I'm going to do the questions.
All right, go on then.
Are you ready?
Ask away, I'm ready. Yeah, go on.
Mary Hughes.
Yep, hello, Mary.
Can you bake a cake and would you do Celebrity Bake Off?
I don't know if I want to do Celebrity Bake. I don't really like those celebrity shows. Well, I don't mind watching some of them. I don't really want to be in any of them. Because I'm not. I'm not a celebrity. I'm only almost a celebrity. A celebrity, I think, has to be somebody that you mention their name and every single person you go up to knows who they are.
Right.
Well, unless it's Big Brother.
You don't know my brother.
No, well, you see, that's it. You know, I think you're quite right. So, yeah, I can bake. I do a very, very nice chocolate fudge.
Okay. I don't know why I'm laughing. Okay. Mark Summers.
Yep.
When owls mate from behind, does the female turn her head 180 degrees to kiss the male?
No.
Sheila Dibner. I hope I've got that right. Do you think I got that right?
I don't know, but just call her Sheila. Hello, Sheila.
What happens to all the old cat's eyes when they resurface roads?
They very carefully cover them over, and so they don't get the tarmac on them. And if they do get any on them, they have a special little thing in there that pushes it out. Every time you drive over it, it self-cleans. So when people actually you go bumpty 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 along the cat's eyes, you're actually doing some good. Well, you don't want to stray too far over into the other lane, but actually it self cleans the cat's eyes.
Very good.
You didn't know that, did you?
I didn't know that, no. John Tile.
Yes, John.
It's Rob.
Oh, sorry, Rob. Yes, John.
Right. Who is your favourite superhero and why?
I think my favourite superhero is the Arrow.
The Arrow? I've not seen much of him.
Where he leaps around with a bow and arrow.
Oh, I see. Okay, I get it now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I quite like him. Superheroes. Well, I suppose the one we know most about is Superman. I quite like Superman.
You quite like Superman.
I quite like Batman as well. So now you see I'm confused. I like most superheroes.
Well, there's a new film coming out called Batman versus Superman. Who do you think would win?
Batman.
Surely Superman would grab Batman and fly into space and Batman would just die.
No, Batman would always triumph.
Okay. Finally, John Wilding. Why is there so much tailgating on our roads?
Because there are so many stupid human beings. Look at the state of the world. It leaves me cold that so many people are so bereft of intelligence. Why would you drive 2 feet away from a car in front of you when you don't know what's going to make them stop? I don't know. I don't think a lot of people who drive actually understand how dangerous the vehicle is. Driving a car on the roads today is probably more dangerous than piloting a jet fighter.
Not when it's in combat.
No, not when it's in combat. Very, very true, Rob.
I think that's it.
So there we are, Rob. As you see, I have an answer for everything, and everything has an answer.
How long's a piece of string?
Well, as long as it wants to be. Until next time, and of course, who knows, I may get the call to rule the world between now and the next programme.
I might get something fixed in the studio for next week.
Yeah. If you could just get me a little box with a microphone, a set of headphones that I can plug into the thing that gives me a better sound in the studio, then we'd be better off, wouldn't we?
Can I just upgrade the Heinz baked beans tin to a Heinz tomato soup tin?
If you think it'll be better, then you do it. I'm off. Right. Thank you, everybody. Don't forget, check out the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. And you can share with your friends something like 120 odd programs, which, like this one, are complete and utter drivel most of the time.
It fills an hour.
Fills an hour, yeah. And why wouldn't you want to fill an hour? So thank you very much indeed for doing that. pop over to our website, check out the adverts, and look round the shop as well.
Bye-bye, then.
Bye-bye, then.
Listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter at the James Whale. James Whale, the voice of reason.